Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, I'm so glad that the ones that just continue to hang on. I want to express my deepest appreciation for you people hanging on. Before we go back to our guests, I'm just going to make one quick side announcement. You people may have known about what's going on in the House this week. The Washington House, they're just getting ready to pass a resolution condemning hate speech against African Americans, Native Americans, Hindus, Sikhs, immigrants, and of course Jews. And they're also condemning white supremacy. But there's no legislation in there, no language in there that protects white people from hate speech. Well, with that, on that note, my co-host Lee Cochran and I, we're slated Monday. I want you people to pray for us. We're going to be going into the lion's den. We're going to pay Mr. David Kustoff, representative, Washington, D.C. representatives, a visit. We've been trying to get an appointment there for about 10 days, and they keep trying to ignore us. But I'm telling you what, they can't ignore us because we are a force to be reckoned with. Now, we may catch hell when we go up there, but Monday, Lee Cochran and I, we're going to go up there totally unannounced. We're just going to go up there, and we're going to say, here we are. We know where the office is, and we're going in there, and we're going to, by God, we're going to demand answers for what this crap that's going on in Washington, D.C., this anti-white bigotry. So I wanted to get that announced before we go back to our guest. And be praying for us, because come hell or high water, me and Lee Cochran are going up there, and they may drag us off in chains. I don't know, but we're not going to get violent. We're going to go peaceably, but we're going to be vocal as hell. With that, before we go back to Mike, I'd like to. We had one of our guys I love to death. I got three quick questions here that we'd cover. We'll go back to Mike and to Gene. He wanted to know if there's any connection in the book with the Boer War. In your book, The Bad War, the Boer War that started in Africa between, you know, the bloody British and the Dutch in South Africa. And also, I was just wondering about Palestine, you know, this thing, the Palestine, where the Jews went in and stole Palestine and turned into what we call modern-day Israel. Well, I'm not supposed to say that anymore. It's hate speech, too. And how the transfer agreement mixed in with all that. Mike, I may be covering too much, maybe getting too general. But if we have time on this hour, maybe we could cover that. And I'd also like to pin you down, Mike, before we leave. If there's any way on earth we can get you to come back, you could the 23rd of this month, the 30th, man, because we can't even scratch the surface tonight on this book. So anyway, be thinking about that, Mike. If you remember, the questions were, does the Boer War, was it any connections there, the Boer War with this?
Palestine? Well, of course it's... It's orchestrated by the same suspects for the same reasons. You know, they wanted to subdue South Africa. It's the same perpetrators, of course. However, I don't cover that in the book because it's not directly related to World War II. But it is the same hidden hand behind both wars. As far as the issue of Palestine, I do get into that in the book because it is as a direct result of World War I that the massive Jewish immigration to Palestine came about. And that's a very important story, and it has a lot to do with how the United States was tricked into World War I. And then, of course, after World War II, when they started whining about the Holocaust, that's when they closed the deal and they got an actual country of Israel. So I do cover that in the book because it's directly related to World War II. And to your question of the 23rd, absolutely. I got it marked down.
Okay, 23rd it is. People, y'all hear that? I want you to listen. The great Michael King, the one and only Michael King, has agreed on air. We'll have come hell or high water. If I'm alive, he's alive. We will be back in here. We'll have the one and only Gene Andrews back, too. He knows more about this than I do. Well, Mike, where would you like to go next? Would you like to go back further back and talk about how anything about the Balfour Declaration, how it came forth in the British. Would you like to talk about that? Of course, you know more about that than I do. Had the Brits agreed with the international? Go ahead. Jean, you ask questions.
I have a lot of information in my book on World War One, because really, World War One and World War Two, they should be called World War Part One and World War Part Two. It's the same players, the same motives, and there's only a 20-year gap between them. So it's absolutely critical. And again, you're not going to find many World War Two books that go into World War One. And if you don't know World War One, it's almost like watching a movie where you walk in after the intermission and you haven't seen the first half. You're not going to have a full understanding of the film. So I go deep into World War One. I talked earlier about how the goal was to get Germany, to tear down Germany. Now, to your question about how the United States got mixed up in this European mess, the globalists totally controlled Woodrow Wilson. Guys like Bernard Baruch, Paul Warburg, who was considered the father of the Federal Reserve Bank, Jacob Schiff, all of these gangsters, they controlled Woodrow Wilson. And, you know, this was a great war to set up the framework of a world government. That was the purpose. And so the United States had to be in it. So it was already arranged the United States would eventually enter a European war. But there was a delay. We didn't go into war right away. And the reason for that is because the Zionists wanted to maneuver the situation in their favor so they can take the land of Palestine. Germany was allied with Austria-Hungary, but also Ottoman Turkey, the Ottoman Turkish Empire. And Palestine was part of the Ottoman Turkish Empire, and it was a 95%, 97% Arab population. So there basically weren't hardly any Jews to speak of in Palestine at that time. So if they were to get their homeland, they would have to find a way to steal, to break up the Ottoman Empire and then steal Palestine and put it under British control. So the war is not really going too well for the British. I mean, Germany is pretty much in control. I mean, there's a stalemate, but there's not one square inch of German territory that has been occupied. German U-boats are now controlling the seas. Britain is in a bad shape. And the whole time, Germany is proposing peace. Let's just stop this war and go back to how everything was. And Britain was seriously considering this offer. And this is when the Zionists made their move. They basically approached the British. They said, hey, you know what? You could still win this war. Just imagine if we get the United States into the war on your side. And we can do that. But here's the deal. We're gonna want you to break up the Ottoman Empire and give us Palestine. And that was a dirty deal that was made. And once that deal was made, all of a sudden in the United States, there was all this war propaganda for getting us into war. We went to war, and immediately we took on the Germans. The British were able to reposition a lot of their forces towards Turkey. And there's a whole story, but eventually the Turkish Empire, they lost, they were broken up, and the British took over Palestine, and
Mike, we got to go to a break, fella. Hear the music. Hold that thought. When we come back, and I'll have one more question, and we'll ask see if Gene has anything to add to that. People, hang on to your seats. We'll be right back with the one and only Mike and the one and only Gene Andrews.
Attention, Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the Liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had a lesson.
Well, people, you probably think I never had a lesson tonight. The great Sam Bushman has been keeping us on track all night tonight. We haven't had one single bobble that I know of. Sam has really got us going. We talked about that during the break. It's incredible how complex it is to keep a radio show going like this. What I do is just penny ante. I've studied hours and hours each week for shows, but that's Sam does it like 10 hours a day. And not only that, he has to do all the technical troubleshooting. He mutes noise. It's extraneous noise. I don't know how in the hell he does it, but I'm just thank God he's here to doing it. And people, before we go back to a question or two and a comment, I'd just like to say again, I'm not begging, but we need assistance bad. If you like this radio show, if you think we're actually doing good, if you want to help us in the future, we're doing some of our we're doing some beneficiaries. And we've got about four of them online to try specifically aimed at helping our political prisoners that were arrested due to Charlottesville, the Battle of Charlottesville. And we have other political prisoners that are in prison, they shouldn't be there. Actually, Sam was in that battle long before I was. But we're trying very hard. We're going to be a couple of sites in Arkansas. We're going to be in Tennessee. We'll start announcing that more in oncoming shows. League of the South and Blood River Radio are going to team up together. A big rendezvous for the second anniversary of Charlottesville is going to be in August. I've got to get back with Dr. Michael Hill again soon about that. But we're getting ready to finalize plans on that. So if you please buy the book. This man, Michael King, has spent, I don't know, years of doing this book. I mean, it's incredible. Michael King is a graduate. By the way, you graduated from Rutgers University. How did it take to do that book, Mike, and then do you graduate from Rutgers?
Oh, well, that was way back. That was in the 80s, long before I was awake. It's hard to say how long it took me to do the book because over many years I acquired the knowledge in bits and pieces, reading bigger books and articles and magazines and so on many different subjects. When I reached a certain point where I knew a lot about the subject and other subjects, the one thing I thought about is, you know, how would I convey this to other people without them having to spend years and years? So with my book and also with my website, this is how I always strive to make things like concise. That's like the underlying theme. Kind of boil things down to its essentials, you know. But as far as putting a book together, it did take me as a part-time effort, maybe like 9 months. But the some of the study that went in before that, you know, that spread out over many years. But the good news is, people who get the book, they won't have to invest all that time. I'm telling you, you get right up to speed. You get right to the essentials. There's not, I don't use a lot of fluff. I'm not one of these writers who is in love with the sound of his own voice or the sound of his own pen. You know what I'm saying? I just get right to the point. Boom, boom, boom. Fact after fact, picture after picture. People read these books. Some people have read it cover to cover. You could probably do that in a day. That's how riveting The Bad War is.
I know Gene's read it from cover to cover, I believe, several times. And people, if you would get that book, send us an order, send us an email here at Blood River, telling you want the book, autographed by Mike King. If there's anything else you want, let me know. But if you will do that, it will help. I mean, this man has poured his blood, his heart and soul into this book. I mean, I could never do that. I doubt if there's one person out of 100 in this audience could do it. And help support him, help get Blood River, get this. Help us stay on the air. Help us help our prisoners in Charlottesville. And I'm going to go make one quick comment, and I'm going to throw it over to Gene. You mentioned Bernard Baruch. He was one of the many, many traitors in our government. Mr. Mike, what did he have? Was Bernard Baruch, was he tied to that book, Germany Must Perish? Was he behind that movement?
He might have been. I'm not sure. I know the author was Theodore Kaufman. I mean, a lot of these characters, they don't need to be told what to do. They just act on their own. But certainly, a book like Germany Must Perish, which is just a horrible book, openly advocates genocide of the German people. I mean, it's so bad. The first time I read it, I was like, this can't be true. This is somebody just trying to, put together making a point in a literary way. But no, that's a real book. But certainly that's how they thought. They wanted total annihilation. They wanted extermination of the German people. And they didn't quite get that, but they sure killed. I mean, they might have killed 10-15% of the population of Germany, which is staggering at the time. But yes. When they couldn't finish them off, now they're doing it on the installment plan through the low birth rate. You know, they promote feminism and they teach women not to have children. And then they bring in all of these third worlders, and they tell them to have sex with all the migrant invaders. So this is, the genocide now is on the installment plan. But that's what they want. They want the German people exterminated, and ultimately all whites exterminated. And that's World War II. That's what it was all about. And the new order of the world that emerged from that war. And that's why this is so important to understand. Because it's not just a historical event. It's not like we're reading about the Roman Empire or ancient Greece. No, the modern world today took its form from that transformative event of World War II. So if you don't understand World War II and also World War I before that, you really don't understand what's going on in the world today. It's a very important topic.
You know, with that, we had a fellow on radio last week, Mike. He said that Christianity started when God said, let there be light. And he said Judaism started when he said, give us Barabbas. With that, Gene, would you like to chime in on what's been going on in the last few minutes, my friend? And maybe you might want to comment about what he said about the Germany Must Perish, the war, actually the World War II being a war of extermination, probably World War I too. So go ahead, Gene. What do you think about that?
Yes, and he made some excellent points, Mr. King did, about Poland, and we've always heard about how poor little Poland was jumped, and they were so innocent, and they were they provoked that war, and they did cut a deal with Britain and France, and Britain and France told them, you get the war started and we'll jump in there. Well, any idiot that can look at a map can say, how are England and France going to help Poland? To get to Poland, they'd have to march through Germany, and Germany's not going to let that happen. So obviously the Poles couldn't read a map and were suckered in on that deal right there. And then some of the other things he was talking about how the Ottoman Empire was broken up and the Balfour Declaration suckered the United States into World War One, and we got suckered in again on World War Two. We learned nothing from the First World War, and then it started on this. But the latter part of that book, The Bad War, really brings World War Two into focus and the aftermath and the result of World War Two, and it shows how we are put in the situation that we're in today. And it talks about all the things that were done to the German people, the German soldiers that surrender, how Eisenhower tried to kill more German soldiers after the war was over than he did during the war, just starving them to death, and the brutality that was brought down on the German people, and the firebombing of Dresden and Hamburg and things like that. And then, our firebombing of Japan. And what people don't realize, there were a lot more Japanese killed by these B-29 super fortresses dropping incendiary bombs on Tokyo and the major cities of Japan. A lot more people were killed then by incendiary bombing than were killed by the two atomic bombs. And, you know, it's a lot of things that are really brought to light to try to wake up our people and say, look what our government has been doing. Look how we've been lied to. Look who is controlling our government. It's not an American government. It's an international New World Order that's calling the shots, and we just kind of puppets that just kind of, you know, like these bobbing head dogs in the back of car windows, we just bobbing our head and going right along down the road.
Uh-oh, Gene, I hear the music. We're going to another break.
There's the music.
Yes, so we got to go to another break, and we come right back. Man, I don't think anybody in the world enjoying this interview as much as I am. We'll be right back, folks, in just a minute with Mike King and Gene Andrews.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Rick Vincent.
Singer R. Kelly has walked out of a Chicago jail after a $161,000 child support payment was made on his behalf. Kelly was also charged last month with 10 counts of aggravated sexual abuse pertaining to four women, including three who are minors. His lawyer, Steven Greenberg, on the explosive CBS interview this past week.
We're not going out there and doing interviews to taint a jury pool, to not taint a jury pool, to help a case, to not help a case. People can think whatever they want based on that. I can tell you that nobody who drew a judgment based on that interview is going to be on our jury and is going to be making the decision.
Tornado risks and severe storms are forecast across the South, but National Weather Service meteorologist Alex Lamer says it'll be over by Monday.
For the Monday morning commute, the low pressure system and cold front should be pushing off the East Coast, so the weather should be relatively quiet to start your Monday across most of the country.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
Satellite images of a facility near Pyongyang suggest that North Korea may be preparing to launch a missile or satellite. It's an area where the North assembled most of its ballistic missiles and rockets. Democratic Congressman Brendan Boyle of Pennsylvania tells CNN that indicates the president hasn't been successful.
The key mistake that this president has made is going about this bilaterally and giving in to the prestige of two bilateral summits with the dictator and brutal murderer of the North Korean regime and the president of the United States. We have gotten absolutely nothing for it, and all Kim has done is play us for suckers.
GOP Congressman Ted Yoho of Florida was one of 23 Republicans to vote against a resolution condemning hate and intolerance. He tells CNN,
"This whole resolution that came up was created by the Democratic Party to go after Representative Omar, who said some very toxic things, you know, very anti-Semitic. And so the resolution that was out to condemn her did anything but do that."
This is USA Radio News.
Well, people, my day has certainly been made with this great interview, getting the one and only Mike King in and having my great sidekick, my brother in arms and spirit, Gene Andrews. I'm so thankful for these fellows coming in. I certainly am. Just another aside before we go back to a question I have, I'm going to hand it off to the guys here, let them talk about it. I see where they're really going after that Omar right now. That's so funny. We have this African woman coming in. I don't even know if she's a citizen, but she's sitting in there. I mean, she's not, I don't even think she's probably still wet, you know, only sees a black wetback. She hadn't been in this country, I guess, 90 days. She's a representative, but at least she did have enough sense to come out. I mean, my God, she came out and she actually said that the Jews have power, that they have their money, and that the AIPAC actually has influence on our American Congress, and the Jews and the rest of the Congress went absolutely insane. I think that's just so funny, man. I'm so glad.
Well, you know, it's so... It's so delightful because they created a Frankenstein monster. This is a triple protected woman. A, she's an alien. B, she's black. And C, she's female. What do you do with her?
Right.
You can say whatever the hell she wants.
And Muslim. And you know what? The wackos down in Midtown where I go run and they stick their dogs on me all the time and they get mad at me because I, you know, want to kick their dogs when they're trying to bite me. They say that she is the very apex of what they call transsexuality. You just said it, Mike. You have the she is quadruple protected. She's an illegal alien. She's black. She's a Muslim. She's got it all going on, man.
Then female, that's four.
Yeah.
You can't touch her. Yeah.
Now, if she was lesbian or transgender, like Sam says, you could not touch her. We'd have to make her one of the. We'd have to go back and get rid of St. Peter and put her in St. Peter's.
And you know
place.
What? You give me an idea. Maybe I should dress up as a chick and write my books, and I won't be censored heavily as I am.
We can sell it for $1,000 a copy. They'd fly off the shelves. Maybe not on this show. Maybe some other show, but we could. But that's for damn sure. You know, I don't know if we have enough time or not, but. You know, I'm going to throw this out there to you and Gene. Excuse this cough, y'all. Man, we've had some kind of hellish sickness around here. Do you think we have enough time to go back? Would you like to even visit the transfer agreement? I know that goes, well, that's part of World War II. Or would you like to go back to, would you like to touch the transfer agreement, Mike? Would you like to do that, or would you like to do something else? Or would you like to go talk
well,
about maybe...
Well, you know what? I'll touch on that. But real quick, I wanted to elaborate on something Gene had mentioned about the lie, the big lie of Hitler snubbing Jesse Owens. It's even worse than that. And I go into this in the book that Hitler actually, there's a witness to this, a British, he's one of the most decorated British pilots in history, World War II. And he gave an interview. This is like in the 60s. He says, you know, he was an athlete too. He says, I was there and I saw Hitler taking a photograph, shaking hands. He came down to congratulate Jesse Owens. And then in the 1960s, just recently, 10 years ago, there's a German journalist who says in the 60s that Jesse Owens visited Germany and he approached a group of journalists, sports journalists, and he had a photograph. He showed it to him of Hitler shaking his hands, and he was hoping that Germany could publish it. He thought maybe the Germans might be more likely to do that than the Americans, and they said, look, we can't touch that. And Owens just shook his head in dismay. And you can find these are real stories. So you have an eyewitness to the event, and then you have an eyewitness who just came out 10 years ago because he's in his 80s. He doesn't care no more that he saw the photo. So Hitler shook his hands. And in the film that was made about the Olympics called Olympia, after the games were over, by Leni Riefenstahl, who was very close to Hitler, you know, it features Jesse Owens prominently. They didn't censor him or anything like that. And Owens himself said that Hitler did not snub me. It was FDR who snubbed me.
Wow.
That's an interesting story because it gives us
I had a personal account of that. We were telling that story about Coach Towns at Georgia, and that's what he said, that Hitler was given the speech, whether he was Chancellor of Germany, King of England, President of the United States, to read at the opening ceremonies, and then he went up to the stands. Well, the first athlete to win a medal was a German, so Hitler goes down to the medal presentation and congratulates this German athlete. Now, he shook hands also with a silver medalist and a bronze medalist, too. Next day, the Olympic Committee calls him in and says, you can't do that. This is 1936 Olympics in Berlin. You can't do that. Said only the Olympic Committee can present the medals. Hitler actually apologized to the Olympic Committee. Well, the next athlete to win a medal was Jesse Owens. So Hitler was told he couldn't go down there. Now, the reason that Coach Towns was telling this story, not only was he there at the Olympics, he was a member of the United States Olympic team, and not only was he a member of the team, he won the gold medal in the 110-meter high hurdles, broke the Olympic record, tied the world record. And we were there at his house, and he was telling us that story. And I tell you what, it is impressive to see an Olympic gold medal if you've never seen one before. Yeah. So that was way back in 1965, that was my first eye-opening to how the news media lies and contrives the news and makes up stories and presents stories as fact when it's just a made-up fictional account to try to slam a certain group of people. So, and there's a whole page of it in the book, The Bad War, about the 1936 Olympics and how this happened. And when I read that page, I said, oh, holy cow, that's what Coach Towns told us.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's fact.
But since publishing the book, I later learned about the eyewitnesses that towards the end of the games, Hitler went down and shook his hands anyway.
Yes, sir.
With him. And one more thing. When Jesse Owens came back, I mean, he was a Republican, actually, and he campaigned for Alf Landon in 1936 against FDR.
Yeah.
And the following year, how convenient, Jesse Owens is audited by the IRS. And they messed him up bad. They drove him into bankruptcy. That was FDR. That's very, everything is backwards. Everything is upside down. You know, whatever they accuse the Germans of is what the American establishment was guilty of.
Oh yeah, and the book The Bad War really points out what a slimy character Roosevelt was, and all the things he was trying to do to provoke a war with Germany. And a friend of mine gave me a copy of Hitler's Declaration of War on the United States that he presented to the Reichstag, very reluctantly, but he did. It's about an 80-minute speech. There are 38 pages of that speech. 16 of those 38 pages list all of the things that Roosevelt was doing to try to provoke a war between the United States and Germany.
That's right. Wow. And you know what? This was one of the basis for my research, because whenever Hitler makes a claim in a speech or in writing, and when you go to try to independently verify it, time and time and time again, the man just told nothing but the truth. It all turns out to be true from independent sources.
Yes.
And it's really amazing. It got to a point in researching and learning about the era and the man. Let me tell you, basically anything that he wrote, you don't even have to verify it. Trust me, just take it to the bank. I mean, there was no lying in that man. And that is why he is hated so much, because in a deceitful, upside-down world like the one we live in today, the fact that someone could be vilified to that extent, that alone tells you that he's doing the God's work. Okay?
Yeah.
Amen.
Just telling the truth.
He was really...
Yeah.
He was loved. You know, he was so loved with his
family. That speech we're talking about, I quote from that. I got like two whole pages, like the heart of it. We're just talking about FDR. I've got that in the book, and I've also had the complete text of the December 8th declaration by Emperor Hirohito of Japan. And that's truthful, too. He talks about how we did everything to avoid this conflict, and Roosevelt was propping up the Chinese to continue the war. And, finally, we hated to do this, but the survival of our nation is at stake, et cetera, et cetera. And it's true, Japan was being squeezed hard. FDR, he pushed them and pushed them until they had no choice but to realize that war was inevitable. We might as well take a shot and get as many U.S. ships as we can. And, this is really heavy to put on people, but the fact is, the event has been glorified as this holy, you know, event in American history that we have to commemorate. But I'm sorry if you're objective about it. The attack on Pearl Harbor was forced, and it was justified, and it was a military target, because long before Pearl Harbor, the United States was already waging war against Japan, both covertly and also overtly. There were American pilots flying and training the Chinese to kill Japanese. So we were already, FDR had already committed numerous acts of war against Japan and Germany, and for months they just ignored it. And then you reach a point where you just can't ignore it anymore.
That's true. And Roosevelt turned down every offer that the Japanese made to negotiate it into the war with China. And better the relationship with the United States. Roosevelt turned them down, blew them off.
Well, folks, with that, we'll go back to these guys when we get back from this break. We have another break, and we'll hold on to your seats. We'll be right back as soon as possible. Thank you for tuning in.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
So, you love talk radio, then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
Do we reflect about our future and where we as a culture are moving? Do we keep our trust in our jobs, homes, money, life necessities, investments, stock markets? Do we believe that our 401ks or other retirements will always be there and that the current economic order will recover? Is the economy going to recover and life return to normal? It ain't gonna happen. By a friend of Medjugorje, whether you are poor, middle class, or rich, It Ain't Gonna Happen, a book of astounding revelations about the present economic order and where we are heading. It Ain't Gonna Happen by a friend of Medjugorje. To order, visit Medj.com, spelled M-E-J.com, or call Caritas in the U.S., 205-672-2000, 205-672-2000.
Being this is a .44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
Well, people, we're right back. I can't wait to get started with this right here. I'd just like to make a few comments. May I tell you what, I sure envy Gene by being down there with Coach Townsend and seeing that Olympic medal. And Gene got the history from the horse's mouth. The man, his coach was there. That's just totally amazing. Gene can tell that to be his great, if he lives long enough, to his great great grandkids, etc. But you know, you know, I'm me and Gene's about the same age. We're getting long in the tooth. But you know, Mike, how can somebody? They might not, I had a hard time getting through you. Is it? Can you? How hard is it to reach you through tomatobubble.com? What's the best way for the people to get in touch with you?
Well, if you go to tomatobubble.com, you know, you'll see tabs on the left. There's contact. There's a contact tab. And I don't know why I missed your emails, but I generally don't have a problem. But the contact information is there.
Well, so it's the, they go to, that's what I did. But you know, I'm a snake bit. When I was in the Army in basic training, I couldn't even get a stinking Coke machine to work. So that doesn't surprise me, man. Well, so if they go to tomatobubble.com, that's how I did. And they go through. So most of the people have pretty good luck getting through to you that way.
Yeah, sure. You'll see right on the front page. If people want to get on my free mailing list and get periodic updates. And they'll also get a free report called How to Respond to an Anti-Conspiracy Theorist. It's a rebuttal to all the stupid arguments people make against conspiracies, you know. But just submit the email, and that gets you the free report, and it gets you on the list. And so much of my content is free. Most of it is free. It's just there's like just the books and the PDFs.
I tell you what, the work sure went for you. Sure put a lot of work into that. I can't imagine how much work you put in there. People, before we go right back to Gene and Mike, if you will, help support Mike, help support us. Please order his book. Like I say, the first, if you will just send in the donate $100, you can get his book, autographed copy. You can give it to your kids, your grandkids. It's a real history book. It certainly is. It, you know what? It would, you could take that book. It would be worth at least one or two semesters. It'd probably take two semesters of college the way the kids are nowadays, you know, with attention span and stuff. That's a great history book. I'm telling you what, I'm going to teach my great grandkids. So that's for sure.
I don't think that's going to happen. There's not a college in the country that would allow that to come on their campus. You know,
you're right, Gene.
They're communist indoctrination centers. They would have a screaming fit. You're going to have to get this information away from a college campus somewhere to find out what really is known.
That's an excellent point, Gene. Matter of fact, it's getting so bad they would probably be arrested for hate speech. That's for sure. But Gene, would you like to? Do you have anything that we missed that you'd like? I know we went to a break. Would you like to go back? Do you have any questions for Mike?
No, I think both of y'all brought up a really interesting point about this Muslim representative from Minnesota. She wasn't attacking the Jews. She wasn't bad mouthing the Jews. She simply asked a question and saying, the Democratic Party is so down on the Republicans for taking money from the NRA, why aren't we down on taking so much money from AIPAC and their influence? So she just asked a question. And then Congress and the news media blew up, even Fox News. They were talking about how anti-Semitic that was to just even ask the question. And if you can't ask a question, nobody ever answered her. See, that was the thing. They started screaming anti-Semitic as soon as that question was in the air. Nobody ever answered her. It's like you get in an argument, a couple of kids out on the playground getting in an argument, and one guy gets chopped off with facts, and the other guy, the only way he can answer him is, yeah, well, so's your old man. You know, that's the only answer he has to come back with. And that's all this was. Nobody ever answered her question. They just started screaming anti-Semitic.
And you know what's funny,
Mike? Well,
you could go right to the website of AIPAC themselves. Over the years, historically, they're proud of the fact that they wield influence. They boast about it.
Oh yeah, yeah, they do.
You know,
and then when somebody asks about it, the whole thing blows up, and you're supposed to shut up. Just because you ask that question, you're anti-Semitic. You're not, like I said, she never said anything about killing Jews or running Jews out of the country or anything like that. Just asking the question had the whole media come
down
on
her.
It's kind of like what Steve King said, y'all. Steve King said the same thing. Now he's in prison.
She's not someone that I would typically find myself on the same side of the fence with. But regarding this issue, it's really been a blessing, because think how many people now have heard this And that leaves an impression. You know, and the more they attack her, the more publicity they bring to this this claim that Jews and Zionists have a disproportionate influence and by our Congress.
Oh, yeah.
You know, she has accomplished a million times more than what we can. You know?
Oh, yeah.
And, so I'm loving it. I hope it continues. And now one of her cohorts, that crazy communist from Queens, Alexandria Cortez, she just came out and said, AIPAC is coming after me, Rashida Tlaib, and Ilhan Omar. They're coming after us three. So she's adding more fuel to the fire. So I hope this controversy stays alive.
Well, it has to if people are going to find out really what's going on. And the funny thing was that, these so-called conservative stations like Fox News, that Laura Ingraham the other night, she was just beside herself, how anti-Semitic this was, just to even ask this question. And I'm saying, she asked a question, answer the question, and then move on.
Yeah.
But no, they can't do it.
No. So,
there are people are in prison for asking that question, Jen. You know, I'm going to chime in. I'm going to go back to y'all. I heard a fella say that this Jewish, they call it chutzpah, is, where you can't answer questions. It's like a Jewish, say, a high school kid or college kid comes home, and he just kills his parents. He shotguns them to death.
Uh-huh.
Well, when he's in court and he gets convicted of it, and the judge is getting ready to hand down a sentence, he says, well, you'll have to have mercy on me because I'm an orphaned.
Yeah,
That's just the way they think. They think totally different from us. Well, guys, there's so much to cover. I'm just wondering. It's talking about lie after lie after lie. We'll go back to your book, and we'll let you. But what do you guys take it? Talking about the lies, Mike. You brought up the butchering, the massacre in the Katyn Forest in Poland. When supposedly the Germans took about 40,000 of the top army officers in the intelligentsia, they were supposed to be anti-communists, they were murdered in the Katyn Forest. I'm sure Gene probably knows about that too. Mike, take off on that, and then if we have time, Gene, go and you chime in after Mike.
Yeah, well, what happened is, when the Soviets came in, they took advantage of the opportunity of the German-Polish War. Unlike the Germans, who treated prisoners with the utmost respect, the Soviets did, they wanted to decapitate the Polish establishment. So they rounded up all these intellectuals and the top officers. They trucked them out to Katyn Forest, tied their hands behind their back, while both hit a head of peace. And that was it. It was a massacre. And then later, when the Germans made their move against the Soviets and they went into that region of Poland, they discovered the bodies. And they called in the world press to kind of, hey, look what the Soviets did. Nobody was interested. Isn't that something? Because, Joe Stalin was being portrayed as a hero. And when the war ended, they wanted to pin the massacre on the Germans at Nuremberg. And it was only because a bunch of Polish patriots showed up and said, oh, no, that was the Soviets. So they kind of just downplayed it. But the original plan was to blame it on the Germans. They had this special commission on it was called the Extraordinary Commission on War Crimes or something to that effect that the Soviets put together. And they were the ones who made this false allegation that later had to be withdrawn. Now, that is the same commission, by the way, that put out the initial report on Auschwitz and the gas chambers and all the millions of Jews killed in the gas chambers. So, and believe it or not, the modern Holocaust narrative is based on that report. Because remember, no Westerners ever set foot in Auschwitz, okay? So if you want to believe the story of Auschwitz, it means you have to take, at face value, a report put together by Stalin's henchmen at the Extraordinary Commission, the same gang who tried to blame Katyn Forest on the Germans. So, they made so many other false allegations, but, they become repeated so much now that it's really difficult to get it out of the public mind. But you have to go back to the origin and ask yourself, if the same commission that said that the Germans killed all these Polish officers when it was really the Soviets, why would you believe them when they say, the gas chambers and the experiments on live prisoners and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the accusation, the original accusation came from the same gang.
You know, Mike,
and scientists have gone to these so-called sites where these gas chambers were and have tested the ground many times over and said there's no evidence there of any of the gas being used because it stays in the bricks in the building or stays in the ground for decades and decades. And then those people that make those reports are thrown in jail. So obviously they must be telling the truth if you're going to throw them in jail.
Well, Gene and Mike, unfortunately, we're out of time. But fortunately, though, we're bringing you guys back again, God willing, on the 23rd of this month. And we'll continue where we left off. Before we run out of time, there is a little book. We have it here. It's called Auschwitz, The Final Count, an anthology edited by Vivian Berg, published by the Barnes Review. It goes all over what Gene and Mike just talked about. The Holocaust was a whole hoax. It's just one of the other monstrous lies. The people tune in. Next week, we have Tom Goodrich coming in. He's going to talk about Hellstorm. That'll be the 16th. The 23rd, we'll be back with Mike King and Gene back here. People, good night. Pray for us. Support us. Support Mike. God bless you. We'll see you next week, God willing.